Can I speak to Grace Smith, please?
I'll have a look. Good morning, SEC.
Can I speak to Grace Smith, please?
Speaking.
Oh, hello. My name's John Yardley from JPY.
Oh, hello, right.
Yeah, I'm good. I've got a mail here that you sent. I'm not sure, actually. It's got Louise Darling, who I've been trying to contact, but I couldn't. And then it says Grace Smith, so I'm not sure who's...
Yeah, you just rang, didn't you, about half an hour ago?
Yeah.
Bear with me, because if Lee's off the phone.
Sorry? Hello?
Hi, Louise speaking.
Oh, hi. This is John Yardley from JPY.
Hello.
Hi. I'm not too sure whether I should be speaking to you or to Grace Smith. Anyway, you've been in correspondence with Kevin Hammond about this Sprint 2 model contract which you sent him.
Right.
Okay. It is a weird document in the sense that generally a contract is something that's agreed between two parties.
And yeah.
It says there that this is one of the versions that the only changes are in the schedules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like it's the document itself is like a Word, a marked up Word document.
Mm-hmm.
So are you expecting the contractor to fill the whole lot in?
So I think first question, is there a customer that's got an absolute requirement right now that we need to complete this contract for?
Possibly, yeah.
So what should happen and what that contract and why there are blank spaces is, say if you do have a customer right now, for instance, what we would do is we would create one of those versions, so we'd do a quote or whatever we're going to do, and then potentially a customer would place an order. And at the contract stage, what we would do is populate this with all the specifics of what that particular customer is going to buy. So SCC would have a version with the customer, and we would then have a backed-off version to you as the supplier. So all the schedule sections would be filled out with the specifics of what that customer is buying. So
right.
Hence my question, is there a customer? Because if there isn't one right now, I think make sure you're comfortable and agree to them. And if you do, obviously, we're then ready to go.
Okay.
When we do have a customer.
The short answer is that 178-page document. To say, are you comfortable to sign it? I mean, there's just vast sections in there that are totally irrelevant. And there will be.
I mean, it's a framework agreement that's been written by Government Procurement Service to cover any public sector customer for the procurement of any IT good or service. So you can imagine the scope of what they're trying to cover in a contract is absolutely massive. So what we can do is, you know, I imagine liquidated damages will not be applicable. And if they're not applicable, with the customer's agreement, we can mark that as not applicable.
All right. Well, the first issue is that, like, getting our lawyers to look through that, I mean, there were just lots of issues that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And what they said is that that normally you would present that document to us with, you know, like who the agreement's between, et cetera, and then we would go back and mark that up. But it's just like it's a totally template document. And
that's probably because we don't know, obviously, the detail of who the customer is or what they're buying. Hence, we're sending you the main, because what
well,
you
we can feed that information back to you. And if you just to go back a stage, there is a specific customer, which is the health protection agency,
okay,
who we've been dealing with for some years now, and we've got lots of other government customers that we supply. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now the last time we met with Health Protection Agency, we were just discussing generally how we could improve the process. Because at the moment, what happens is that, as it happens, the product that we supply, we're the only supplier of. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So this is not. They couldn't really tender it. I mean,
yeah.
They could, but they wouldn't get any other.
Yeah, yeah.
So we said, what's a mechanism of doing this? And they said, well, if you were to become a subcontractor under the framework, then any future orders that we placed, okay, would go under that. So although they're is almost certainly a specific thing that they want to award a short term. This is a long term thing, and if we're going to do that, there'll be other government departments that we're supplying. So Kevin, who's got involved with this, is really on the sales side. He's not going to know exactly what's going on. I'm just trying to get my head around the structure. Is this framework, the sprint framework, for all government IT?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So we as the prime contractor have signed up to the kind of master set of terms and conditions, and what that model contract has been created and why it's been created is so for where a customer potentially wants to absolutely complete a contract, because even if they place an order and reference on their PO that it's in accordance with Sprint 2, those terms will still take precedence. But what a lot of customers still like to do is detail what they're buying in a contract, which is why this model contract has been created by GPS.
It's so full of contradictions and stuff that our advice is that it's just totally unenforceable. I mean, in a sense, we could just sign it and just, you know, get rid of it, and then you'd be happy. But of course, if it's not enforceable, you know, it's not really achieving that, and you might say, well, that's their hard luck, you know.
I think there's two issues there. If they're choosing that framework, that is a set of terms and conditions that we have to adhere to, and that we being the customer, SEC, and you as a supplier. And these, as I say, have been written and are governed by the contracting authority who own this framework, who we're buying solutions and our GPS. So whether you potentially have that view or not, that's a set of terms and conditions that the customer is choosing to use. And I absolutely recognise that some things will not be applicable, but not knowing the finer details of the deal, not knowing potentially what you think is not applicable or not, I cannot create a contract right now to absolutely reflect.
That's fine. Well, that really is the nub of the question. What I want to know is, at this stage, right, can we get somebody in our legal departments to talk through, you know, the issues on this contract to find out? Because your letter said somewhere like, this is just, you can't change it, whatever you want to do,
you can't change it.
You can only do it through the schedules. So,
yeah, do you know what, and that's...
So we could put something in the schedule to say, like, you know, in the main terms and conditions, that all of these things are contradictory. And
No. So what the main first 80 pages you cannot change. The schedule sections we can obviously add and delete where appropriate. But if you were to do that, if you were to say in schedule whatever, none of the above applies, well, by default, Sprint 2 terms and conditions would apply. So even if you put that in there, it wouldn't stand up. So the schedule sections, as I mentioned, if you think that liquidated damages or service credits or pensions isn't applicable, you would track that up as not applicable. I would approach the customer and say, do you agree to having this amended? Because in essence, because this is what we call our pass-through business, so we're just acting as a middleman, we don't have unnecessary risk on SEC. So if you make a change to our contract, I will flow that to the customer and say, the supplier does not want liquidated damages in that contract,
right, okay.
For instance.
So it is possible to change it then?
The schedule section, though.
It's only in the schedule
section, yeah. But what we have to do is present that to the customer to get their agreement. You can't just, well, I don't want it and I'll take it out. We have to obviously then make sure that the customer also agrees with that, because the two documents that we'd be signing, obviously one with you and then one with the customer, basically have to mirror each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, I'm just trying to mitigate everybody's time here, because it is just an absolutely massive document. And I just want to, you know, I don't want to end up, you know, spending 6 weeks of legal time on that. So
I think from your perspective, it's making sure that you're comfortable to receive an order under those terms and conditions. And obviously then when you sound like you've got obviously a customer there, when you know what the finer detail is, I can set about creating that. But obviously without that detail, there's no way I can do that at this stage.
Yeah, we know all the details, but you know, my reaction to the document is that I can't think of any way on earth that we would be comfortable signing that. And you know, having dealt with government for many years, I mean, the general view is, well, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been on this framework for I mean, it'll be 2 years in March. We run a number of GPS frameworks, and when we do millions of pounds worth of business through all of them, and the terms and conditions are accepted by customers and suppliers. So, again, do you know what? It's the customer's choice. I'm not going to, you know, say to your customer, you must use this route. It's absolutely their choice. And by the sounds of it, they've obviously chosen to use this route. And that's the terms and conditions that they wish to transact under. So.
Okay, so the next stage, I'll probably get somebody that's legally savvy of this. Could they give you a call, or do they need to speak to
they? They
lawyers?
Can. They can. But can I just set their expectations that the main section cannot be changed? So, and I don't wish to seem kind of abrupt, but if they do want to make changes, it's one of those things that you've either got to grin and bear it, because you physically can't. The only changes you can make potentially will be to the schedules, pending customer acceptance. So I'm happy to take a call, but you know, if they're going to potentially say, well, can we change this, can we change that, when the expectation is you cannot change the main section at all. So if you just kind of flow that down, but happy to take a call from them anyway.
No, that's all right, it's fine. I'm just trying to speak to somebody and just get a feel for what the thing is before we take the next steps. But there's stuff that you've said now which, when I come to describe that to somebody else, I might get wrong or something. So it'd probably be best, if it's all right.
That's fine.
Okay, and you are the right person to speak to.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great. All right, thanks very much.
Thanks,
Louise. Thanks.
Bye.